اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل، نعم المولى ونعم النصير. أستغفر الله الذي لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم الرحمن الرحيم ذو الجلال والإكرام، وأتوب إليه. اللهم كن لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة، وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا، حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا. اللهم إني أسألك برحمتك التي وسعت كل شيء، وبقوتك التي قهرت بها كل شيء وخضع لها كل شيء وذل لها كل شيء، وبجبروتك التي غلبت بها كل شيء، وبعزتك التي لا يقوم لها شيء، وبعظمتك التي ملأت كل شيء، وبسلطانك الذي على كل شيء، وبوجهك الباقي بعد فناء كل شيء، وبأسمائك التي ملأت أركان كل شيء، وبعلمك الذي أحاط بكل شيء، وبنور وجهك الذي أضاء له كل شيء. يا نور، يا قدوس، يا نور، يا قدوس، يا نور، يا قدوس، يا أول الأولين ويا آخر الآخرين. اللهم اغفر لي الذنوب التي تهتك العصام. اللهم اغفر لي الذنوب التي تنزل النقام. اللهم اغفر لي الذنوب التي تغير النعام. اللهم اغفر لي الذنوب التي تحبس الدعاء. اللهم اغفر لي الذنوب التي تنزل البلاء. اللهم اغفر لي كل ذنب أذنبته وكل خطيئة أخطأتها. اللهم إني أتقرب إليك بذكرك وأستشفع بك إلى نفسك، وأسألك بجودك أن تدنيني من قربك، وأن توزعني شكرك، وأن تلهمني ذكرك. اللهم إني أسألك سؤال خاضع متذلل خاشع، أن تسامحني وترحمني وتجعلني بقسمك راضيا قانعا، وفي جميع الأحوال متواضعا. اللهم وأسألك سؤال من اشتدت فاقته وأنزل بك عند الشدائد حاجته وعظم فيما عندك رغبته. اللهم عظم سلطانك وعلى مكانك، وخفي مكروك وظهر أمرك وغلب قهرك وجرت قدرتك، ولا يمكن الفرار من حكومتك. اللهم لا أجد لذنوبي غافرا ولا لقبائحي ساترا ولا لشيء من عملي القبيح بالحسن مبدلا غيرك. لا إله إلا أنت، سبحانك وبحمدك، ظلمت نفسي ظلمت نفسي ظلمت نفسي، وتجرأت بجهلي وسكنت إلى قديم ذكرك لي ومنك علي. اللهم مولاي، كم من قبيح سترته، وكم من فادح من البلاء أقلته، وكم من عثال وقيته، وكم من مكروه دفعته، وكم من ثناء جميل لست أهلا له نشرته. اللهم عظم بلائي وأفرط بي سوء حالي وقصرت بي أعمالي وقعدت بي أغلالي وحبسني عن نفعي بعد أملي وخدعتني الدنيا بغرورها ونفسي بجنايتها ومطالي. يا سيدي، فأسألك بعزتك ألا يحجب عنك دعائي سوء عملي وفعالي، ولا تفضحني بخفي ما اطلعت عليه من سري، ولا تعاجلني بالعقوبة على ما عملته في خلواتي من سوء فعلي وإساءتي ودوام تفريطي وجهالتي وكثرة شهواتي وغفلتي. وكن اللهم بعزتك لي في كل الأحوال رؤوفا، وعلي في جميع الأمور عطوفا. إلهي وربي، من لي غيرك أسأله كشف ضري والنظر في أمري إلهي ومولاي أجريت علي حكما اتبعت فيه هوى نفسي ولم أحترز فيه من تزيين عدوي فغرني بما أهوى وأسعده على ذلك القضاء فتجاوزت بما جرى علي من ذلك بعض حدودك وخالفت بعض أوامرك فلك الحمد علي في جميع ذلك ولا حجة لي فيما جرى علي فيه قضاءك وألزمني حكمك وبلاؤك وقد أتيتك يا إلهي بعد تقصيري وإسرافي على نفسي معتذرا نادما منكسرا مستقيلا مستغفرا منيبا مقرا مذعنا معترفا لا أجد مفرا مما كان مني ولا مفزعا أتوجه إليه في أمري غير قبولك عذري وإدخالك إياي في سعة رحمتك اللهم فاقبل عذري وارحم شدة ضري وفكني من شد وثاقي يا رب ارحم ضعف بدني يا رب ارحم ضعف بدني يا رب ارحم ضعف بدني ورقة جلدي ودقة عظمي يا من بدأ خلقي وذكري وتربيتي وبري وتغذيتي حبني لابتداء كرمك وسالف برك بي يا إلهي وسيدي وربي أتراك معذبي بنارك بعد توحيدك وبعد من طوى عليه قلبي من معرفتك ولهج به لساني من ذكرك واعتقده ضميري من حبك وبعد صدق اعترافي ودعائي خاضعا لربوبيتك هيهات أنت أكرم من أن تضيع من ربيت أو تبعد من أدنيت أو تشرد من آويت أو تسلم إلى البلاء من كفيته ورحمت وليت شعري يا سيدي وإلهي ومولاي أتسلط النار على وجوه خرت لعظمتك ساجدة وعلى ألسن نطقت بتوحيدك صادقة وبشكرك مادحة وعلى قلوب اعترفت بإلهيتك محققة وعلى ضمائر حوت من العلم بك حتى صارت خاشعة وعلى جوارح سعت إلى أوطان تعبدك طائعة وأشارت باستغفارك مذعنة ما هكذا الظن بك ولا أخبرنا بفضلك عنك يا كريم يا رب وأنت تعلم ضعفي عن قليل من بلاء الدنيا وعقوباتها وما يجري فيها من المكاره على أهلها على أن ذلك بلاء ومكروه، قليل مكثوه، يسير بقاؤه، قصير مدته. فكيف احتمالي لبلاء الآخرة وجليل وقوع المكاره فيها، وهو بلاء تطول مدته ويدوم مقامه ولا يخفف عن أهله، لأنه لا يكون إلا عن غضبك وانتقامك وسخطك، وهذا ما لا تقوم له السماوات والأرض. يا سيدي، فكيف لي وأنا عبدك الضعيف الذليل الحقير المسكين المستكين؟ يا إلهي وربي وسيدي ومولاي، لأي الأمور إليك أشكو، ولما منها أضج وأبكي؟ لأليم العذاب وشدته، أم لطول البلاء ومدته؟ فلئن صيرتني للعقوبات مع أعدائك، وجمعت بيني وبين أهل بلائك، وفرقت بيني وبين أحبائك وأوليائك، فهبني يا إلهي وسيدي ومولاي وربي، صبرت على عذابك فكيف أصبر على فراقك؟ وهبني صبرت على حر نارك فكيف أصبر عن النظر إلى كرامتك؟ أم كيف أسكن في النار ورجائي عفوك؟ فبعزتك يا سيدي ومولاي أقسم صادقا، لئن تركتني ناطقا لأضجن إليك بين أهلها ضجيج الآملين، ولأصرخن إليك صراخ المستصرخين، ولأبكين عليك بكاء الفاقدين، ولأنادينك أين كنت يا ولي المؤمنين، يا غاية آمال العارفين، يا غياث المستغيثين، يا غياث المستغيثين، يا غياث المستغيثين، يا حبيب قلوب الصادقين، ويا إله العالمين. أفتراك سبحانك يا إلهي وبحمدك تسمع فيها صوت عبد مسلم، سجن فيها بمخالفته وذاق طعم عذابها بمعصيته، وحبس بين أطباقها بجرمه وجريرته، وهو يضج إليك ضجيج مؤمل لرحمتك، ويناديك بلسان أهل توحيدك، ويتوسل إليك بربوبيتك. يا مولاي، فكيف يبقى في العذاب وهو يرجو ما سلف من حلمك؟ أم كيف تؤلمه النار وهو يأمل فضلك ورحمتك؟ أم كيف يحرقه لهيبها وأنت تسمع صوته وترى مكانه؟ أم كيف يشتمل عليه زفيرها وأنت تعلم ضعفه؟ أم كيف يتقلقل بين أطباقها وأنت تعلم صدقه؟ أم كيف تزجره زبانيتها وهو يناديك يا رب؟ أم كيف يرجو فضلك في عتقه منها فتتركه فيها؟ هيهات، ما ذلك الظن بك، ولا المعروف من فضلك، ولا مشبه لما عملت به الموحدين من برك وإحسانك. فباليقين أقطع، لولا ما حكمت به من تعذيب جاحديك وقضيت به من إخلاد معانديك، لجعلت النار كلها بردا وسلاما، وما كان لأحد فيها مقرا ولا مقاما. لكنك تقدست أسماؤك، أقسمت أن تملأها من الكافرين من الجنة والناس أجمعين، وأن تخلد فيها المعاندين. وأنت جل ثناؤك قلت مبتدئا، وتطولت بالإنعام متكرما. أفمن كان مؤمنا كمن كان فاسقا لا يستوون؟ إلهي وسيدي، فأسألك بالقدرة التي قدرتها وبالقضية التي حتمتها وحكمتها وغلبت من عليه أجريتها، أن تهب لي في هذه الليلة وفي هذه الساعة كل جرم أجرمته وكل ذنب أذنبته وكل قبيح أسررته وكل جهل عملته، كتمته أو أعلنته، أخفيته أو أظهرته، وكل سيئة أمرت بإثباتها الكرام الكاتبين الذين وكلتهم بحفظ ما يكون مني، وجعلتهم شهودا علي مع جوارحي، وكنت أنت الرقيب علي من ورائهم والشاهد لما خفي عنهم، وبرحمتك أخفيت وبفضلك سترت، وأن توفر حظي من كل خير أنزلت أو إحسان فضلت أو بر نشرت أو رزق بسطت أو ذنب تغفر أو خطأ تستر. يا ربي يا ربي يا رب يا ربي يا ربي يا رب يا ربي يا ربي يا رب يا إلهي وسيدي ومولاي ومالك رقي، يا من بيده ناصيتي، يا عليما بضري ومسكنتي، يا خبيرا بفقري وفاقتي، يا ربي يا ربي يا رب يا ربي يا ربي يا رب يا ربي يا ربي يا رب. أسألك بحقك وقدسك وأعظم صفاتك وأسمائك أن تجعل أوقاتي من الليل والنهار بذكرك معمورا وبخدمتك موصولا وأعمالي عندك مقبولة حتى تكون أعمالي وأورادي كلها وردا واحدا وحالي في خدمتك سرمدا. يا سيدي يا من عليه معولي يا من إليه شكوت أحوالي يا ربي يا ربي يا رب يا ربي يا ربي يا رب يا ربي يا ربي يا رب. قو على خدمتك جوارحي واشدد على العزيمة جوانحي وهب لي الجد في خشيتك والدوام في الاتصال بخدمتك حتى أسرح إليك في ميادين السابقين وأسرع إليك في البارزين وأشتاق إلى قربك في المشتاقين وأدنو منك دنو المخلصين وأخافك مخافة الموقنين وأجتمع في جوارك مع المؤمنين. اللهم ومن أرادني بسوء فأرد ومن كادني فكد واجعلني من أحسن عبيدك نصيبا عندك وأقربهم منزلة منك وأخصهم زلفة لديك فإنه لا ينال ذلك إلا بفضلك وجد لي بجودك واعطف علي بمجدك واحفظني برحمتك واجعل لساني بذكرك لهجا وقلبي بحبك متيما ومن علي بحسن إجابتك وأقلني عثرتي واغفر زلتي فإنك قضيت على عبادك بعبادتك وأمرتهم بدعائك وضمنت لهم الإجابة فإليك يا ربي نصبت وجهي وإليك يا ربي مددت يدي فبعزتك استجب لي دعائي وبلغني مناي ولا تقطع من فضلك رجائي واكفني شر الجن والإنس من أعدائي. يا سريع الرضا يا سريع الرضا يا سريع الرضا. اغفر لمن لا يملك إلا الدعاء فإنك فعال لما تشاء. يا من اسمه دواء وذكره شفاء وطاعته غناء. ارحم من رأس ماله الرجاء وسلاحه البكاء. يا سابغ النعم يا دافع النقم يا نور المستوحشين في الظلم يا عالما لا يعلم. صل على محمد وآل محمد وافعل بنا ما أنت أهله وصلى الله على رسوله والأئمة الميامين من آله وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، بارئ الخلائق أجمعين، بعث الأنبياء والمرسلين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا وشفيع ذنوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المكرمين المنتجبين، لا سيما بقية الله في الأراضين، روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء، ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين إلى قيام يوم الدين. For the hastening and the return of our Imam, let's recite the salawat. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجه. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Hadid in verse 22 says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. ما أصاب من مصيبة في الأرض ولا في أنفسكم إلا في كتاب من قبل أن نبرأها إن ذلك على الله يسير لكي لا تأسوا على ما فاتكم ولا تفرحوا بما آتاكم والله لا يحب كل مختال فخور. This is a very fundamental teaching that we should, as believers in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, work on developing it. It's not something that you can read once and have it understood and believed as it is. We have a very basic, incomplete, rather I should say wrong, but it's somewhere to start. It has a lot of deficiencies, the understandings we get of this when we initially come across it. That's generally the case regarding our beliefs. The understanding we think we have, and we should have at where we are, that we believe in, are very deficient. We start there. The point is not to stop there, to continue, to work on it, to think about it, to have those remembrances. Dhikr, we've said this many times, dhikr is not simply to repeat the same word with the same meaning and then just continue with that. That is stagnating. You're not supposed to stagnate. Although dhikr never has that. Dhikr, if anyone is involved with dhikr, it doesn't have that effect. Dhikr always has the effect of moving the person forward. Even if they don't realize it, even if you think you're just up to this point, or I thought I was just reading the same thing. Well, that's what you thought. If you did it because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, the effect of it is at some point God will take your hand and increase that understanding. If it was done for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anyhow, enough with the points outside of this verse. The point is, we have to work on this belief here that we're reading. And it's difficult. It says, there is not a musibah, something hard, harsh, difficult, a calamity. There isn't one that comes to you, في الأرض, in the earth, ولا في أنفسكم, and in yourselves, internally. There isn't a musibah, anything that hits you hard. There isn't one. إلا في كتاب من قبل أن نبرأها. Except that it's in a book. It's written. Okay. Anything that happens is written. Before it takes place. Before we complete that, make it happen, in other words, it seems like, you know, the focus of the discussion here isn't, this is a difficult part, من قبل أن نبرأها, before we dry it, if I translated that accurately, in just the literal translation, seems like it's referring to the actual happening of it, but it's worded in this way. Before it happens, it's already written. Whatever happens, مَا أَصَابَ مِن مُصِيبَةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ مِن قَبْلِ أَن نَبْرَأَهَا إِنَّ ذَلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ يَسِيرٌ. This is very easy for Allah. Whatever happens and making it happen and planning the whole process. إِنَّ ذَلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ يَسِيرٌ. Then it says, so why is this given to you? Why are you told? Why are we told? مَا أَصَابَ مِن مُصِيبَةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ. What's the importance? What's the effect? What's the desired effect on a believer? What is it supposed to do to you? And this is what we can test our belief with. If this desired effect is in us, then we have that belief. If it's not, then we don't have that belief. We haven't really seen this. We haven't accepted it. We don't see things in light of it. We don't see ourselves, our surroundings, our families, or anything, everything that happens. We don't see it in light of what is being said to us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Almighty, the one who governs this universe, is telling us about how He does it. What's the desired effect in a believer? لِكَيْ لَا تَأْسَوْ عَلَى مَا فَاتَكُمْ وَلَا تَفْرَحُوا بِمَا أَتَاكُمْ. You shouldn't feel sad and feel horrible when you lose something. What you have lost. There's many things we lose. We lose our youth. We lose everything. Everything we have at some point, we lose it. There's nothing that we ever have that we don't lose in this material realm, of course. This is talking about this material realm. Or at least that's where it starts. Let me say that. I haven't thought beyond that. There's so much there. As I said, I obviously, when I said it's deficient, I'm not referring to you all. Mine is complete. No. The Quran is complete. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says is complete. What we have is always incomplete and needs to be completed. So what's clear, the part about it that is clear is about the material realm, to me, the part that is clear. And that's what I'm speaking of. About this material realm, whatever comes, whatever we have, we lose it. We have health, we lose it, we get unhealthy. Sometimes it is, we get unhealthy, we get ill, we We're under the weather for a while, then we're back up again. But there's a time that comes that that illness is not going to go away. It's going to be terminal. And health doesn't come back. Life is taken from this material realm, of course. Life doesn't end. The life on this material realm, in this material realm, on this planet, on this earth, not the earth of the Day of Judgment. يَوْمَ تُبَدَّلُ الْأَرْضُ غَيْرَ الْأَرْضُ. This life ends. So whatever we have is taken. And things are given to us. Every second, something is given to us. There is not a second in our life that we don't have things being given to us. Some of those things are more desirable than others, but there's always things coming to us. Some of them we notice more than others. Okay. When we receive something that we like, that we desire, we get very happy. We forget about everything. We're rejoicing. The verse says, everything that's going to happen is already written. What's the desired effect? لِكَيْ لَا تَأْسَوْ عَلَى مَا فَاتَكُمْ وَلَا تَفْرَحُوا بِمَا أَتَكُمْ. Don't be too happy to... I'm putting that word, of course. It says, لَا تَفْرَحُوا. You shouldn't have farah. Okay. We had, I think it was last week, we mentioned Surah Ar-Rum, or maybe the previous week. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَوْمَئِذٍ يَفْرَحُ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ بِنَصْرِ اللَّهِ. The believers are happy. They have farah. A joy at the heart. Seeing something that's desirable, liking it is fine. But having farah, this says, وَلَا تَفْرَحُوا بِمَا أَتَاكُمْ. You should not have that farah. Not that it's haram, that's not the point. This is where the connection comes in again. If we understand that everything is already written, what you will have, what you will take, to us, it's a surprise, like, wow, I got this. It was already written. You're going to get it. Don't be surprised at this. The other part, when we lose something, that asa, that feeling, grief and sorrow, depressed, I lost this, and just keep revisiting that in one's mind, and if this wouldn't have happened, if that person didn't do this, I would still have. It's written by God, it was going to happen. كَيْ لَا تَأْسَوْ عَلَى مَا فَاتَكُمْ وَلَا تَفْرَحُوا عَلَى مَا أَتَاكُمْ. وَاللَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ كُلَّ مُخْتَالٍ فَخُورٍ. Farah in regards to material things, when we're so happy, this combination that was just stated, when somebody feels so horrible when they lose something material, when they feel so happy when something material is given to them, what's going to happen? What type of character is this? What type of a person is this? Allah said, وَاللَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ كُلَّ مُخْتَالٍ فَخُورٍ. The extreme version of it, at least, one can say, proud people, proud of something they have, they think they have it, very happy about it. And because they hate that loss, الَّذِينَ يَبْخَلُونَ وَيَأْمُرُونَ النَّاسَ بِالْبُخْلِ. Like, keep it, don't give it away. They're very happy with what they have. They don't like the loss. What's that going to translate to in terms of behavior? You don't want to give it up. This is where bukhl comes in. Very stingy. I want to keep everything. I don't want to give it to anyone. If I give it, I'm giving it for return. that I can calculate in this material realm. Something material. I'm giving something material for something better. Okay. That's the attitude of a person that has not developed that belief in themselves. الَّذِينَ يَبْخَلُونَ. And then not only are they like that, they're telling everybody else, like, what are you doing? You stupid? What's wrong with you? Are you nuts? Why are you giving this for free? There's got to be something in return. If you're buying fame, You want to buy a name for yourself? It's fine. Yeah, that makes sense. Absolutely. You're paying money to a charity, to this, to that, in whatever way. Why? Because I'm buying my self-respect. I like to walk around, people say good things about, I want to hear good things said about me. Well, that makes sense. Are you giving it to this organization? It's not going to give you no name, no fame, nothing. Are you stupid? يَأْمُرُونَ النَّاسَ بِالْبُخْلِ. They tell people, don't give. وَمَنْ يَتَوَلَّ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْغَنِيُّ الْحَمِيدُ. This being said is not because God is in need of your assistance or your money. He's the one that gave you that money. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْغَنِيُّ. Whoever turns their back and doesn't contribute towards where God says to contribute, don't worry. إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْغَنِيُّ الْحَمِيدُ. God is needless and He is praiseworthy without anything that you have. And the verses continue to discuss matters that are related to the chapter. This was an excerpt, one of the passages, one of the side points, or one of the points in the context of a greater theme that the chapter was discussing. And we need these reminders because we are in need of developing these beliefs. We need to realize and recognize that bukhl in us, whatever level, we've mentioned many times, these are not, it's not like, okay, I gave here, that means I don't have bukhl. No. There's a person that gives here, doesn't give somewhere else. There's some level of bukhl. Bukhl has different degrees. There's some of the worst instances, like the cases of Qarun. And then someone like me, unfortunately, hopefully, as much as I've tried to fight it in me, there's still bukhl. I don't want to give certain things up. Okay. I am happy with certain things that I have. That happiness, that is the farah. I don't know how else to put that. As I said, there's a distinction between enjoying something that God has given, even materially, without farah. And the result, or the way you can tell the difference is this. If it leads to bukhl, you're not willing to give it up, it means that there is farah. تَفْرَحُ بِمَا أَتَاكُمْ and تَأْسَوْ عَلَى مَا فَاتَكُمْ. Those two should not happen. What will help us? What will help us? This reminder, keep repeating. مَا أَصَابَ مِن مُصِيبَةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ مِن قَبْلِ أَن نَبْرَأَهَا. Anything that happens is written by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This will happen, then that will happen. It's all written what will happen to you from the beginning to the end in this material realm and beyond. Repeat that. The verses say that it will get rid of that bukhl. It would get rid of تَأْسَوْ عَلَى مَا فَاتَكُمْ and تَفْرَحُ عَلَى مَا أَتَاكُمْ. It will get rid of it. Repeat this. Remind ourselves. This is an aspect of rububiyyah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A particular reminder for ourselves. Allah, He's the one Rabb. There is no other Rabb. We, as much as we repeat that, our minds work in compartments. We think of lordship, some of the aspects, many of the aspects, in fact, we don't bring to mind when we repeat that. So that's why those specifically need to be mentioned. This is one of them. مَا أَصَابَ مِن مُصِيبَةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ مِن قَبْلِ أَن نَبْرَأَهَا. Anything that happens to you is already written by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before it actually happens. Know this. InshaAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help us with this, and we develop that belief in our hearts. He gives us that belief in our hearts, inshallah. And we see the benefits. One of the greatest blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can give a believer is this. That when you lose something, you don't feel sad. And when you are given something, you don't have a heart attack over such a great thing that was given to you. Okay? Some of the greatest things that you can imagine materially, right? If God gives, what's your reaction going to be? What's the reaction of a person if God gives that material gain? We lose it. This is one of the other aspects of farah. We lose it. We lose control. We're like so happy that that thing just covers our eyes and our hearts so much that we don't see anything else. We're just, the only thing that we can think of is that great thing that was given to us. And this is the farah that is. When farah is binasrillah, farah is towards something seen from Allah, the aspect of its connection of Allah, it being a sign of Allah, it being an ayah of Allah, that farah makes you focus on Allah. It doesn't make you focus on this thing. But when your farah is because of this thing that was given, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us. This is a great blessing that one can have, and it will help in many ways. One more thing that I wanted to mention tonight, inshallah, with the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And because of what I see and hear people discussing, very unfortunately, this needs to be mentioned and reminded. As much as the Quran says that everything revolving around your feeling of connection with people, everything about that revolves around the concept of iman. Who you feel close to is iman based on that. Them being a mu'min means there is a relationship, a heartfelt relationship. Their iman being higher means there's a greater relationship that I have, and I want to be closer to them. And the greater their iman is, keeps going up until you get to the Ahlul Bayt and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa ajma'in, where that's where our greatest connection is. So everything about our connection with people, feeling for people, feeling close to people, feeling like they are part of us and we are part of them, we would be the word used when I'm thinking about me and those that are with me, is revolving around the concept of iman. This is what the Quran says. The Quran explicitly suggests that ethnicity, race, nationality, whatever you like to call it, or gender, none of that has anything to do with how you feel close to a person or a people. It's about iman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says He created you min dhakarin wa untha wa ja'alakum shu'uban wa qaba'ila lita'arafu inna akramakum 'inda Allahi atqakum. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions. This is fundamental. This is fundamental. It doesn't matter where in the world you are. And it doesn't matter where in the world your brother or sister is in iman. You are, based on the Quran, based on Islam, you are brothers and sisters. Al-mu'minuna wal-mu'minat ba'duhum awliya'u ba'd. The wilaya that bonds us together is iman. Who do I care for in this world? As someone that I bond with, that I am with, that we are part of a struggle with, who is it? Mu'mineen. Does it matter where in the world that is? Absolutely not. The only thing that makes a difference is their level of iman. The higher their level of iman, the more important they are and they should be to me. That's why we consider it so important to care about the 12th Imam, ajjalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif. That's why it matters where and when he will come and me being ready for him. Is he going to be in my country? Well, I'm in the US. Of course, based on what we have, which is very clear and it is legitimate, he is not going to be rising from here. He himself, as a person. His rise is not going to be here. His capital is not going to be in this country. Does that mean I care less about that? Does that mean I care more about the people that are around me? No. Yes, we care about people around us. We should care about people around us. But it doesn't work in this way. Forget the 12th Imam, then care about these people. No, you care more about the 12th Imam. And the way you care about the people around you is in line with your care of the 12th Imam, because all of that is going to mean, even for these people around you, what is your care about them? What do you care about them? Isn't it for prosperity? If you want prosperity for them, it's with the 12th Imam. If you lose sight of him and what he's doing and what he's moving towards, if you lose sight of that, even if you think you do care about the people around you, your ethnicity, your race, your whatever, because sometimes it's weird. I find it very, I can't really say, there's so much stigma and so much misunderstanding regarding this concept. A lot of ignorance, compound ignorance, stupidity, I'd like to call it. That if I were to say, some people are going to start saying things that are ridiculous. It don't make any sense. When we're talking about race and racism and so on and so forth. Some of those who are so concerned about racism are very clearly very racist themselves. Very racist, beyond your imagination. They think they're concerned about race. Being concerned about you yourself being oppressed is not being concerned about racism and being against racism. It's feeling bad about you being oppressed. It's not about oppression being bad. It's about why I am oppressed. That's not a good thing. That is not a good thing. What Islam says is none of that matters. None of it matters. It doesn't matter that the Prophet is Arab and I'm not. He's an Arab. 12 Imams, Arabs. Fatima al-Zahra, Arab. I'm not Arab. It matters not at all. Not even the slightest bit. Not even 0.0 with a bar and then one. There is no such a figure, but if there was, infinite zeros and then put a one, which means it's not infinite, but you get the point. As many as you want, put a one at the end. No, even that much does not matter. If the Prophet would have risen at our time, where would he be? Arabia. Where are we? United States of America. You're going to consider that less important because it's not in your country? Well, if you are, I'm sorry, that's not Islam. You can create your own religion. It's not Islam. Don't use Islamic terminology or some ridiculous Western terminology. I saw some, inshallah Allah guide him. Some of these people are very interesting when we see using different terms that I'm sure they don't even realize what they're talking about. Nation, state, and creating this mess to try to, what the heck are you trying to talk about? What are you trying to say? Bottom line is, You shouldn't care about what other believers are going through. Baloney. Especially if the other believers who are going through what they're going through are above us in iman, in their struggle for the 12th imam. The Islamic Republic in Iran has accomplished things for Islam that we haven't here. Face it. In fact, no other country has. Face it. This is a reality. If the mu'mineen who accomplished that, who established that, were in a different part of the world, the same thing would have been true. And there will be, according to our ahadith, the place that will be ready for the imam of our time to have his capital is Kufa. No matter what you want to think about Kufa, the history of Kufa, that's where it's going to be ready for the 12th imam. That part of the world is where the believers will be most supportive of the 12th imam. That's why he's going to establish his government over there. Well, that's not in Iran. Or Iranians, are they going to be like, well, that's not in Iran, that's in Iraq. Doesn't matter. If those believers there are going to make more progress, whenever it happens, and they will be more ready than anywhere else in the world to form the capital of the 12th imam, should I think, well, what's happening to them? Yeah, that's their thing. Oh, let's think about, let's discuss, let's not worry about that. Let's not get involved in that. What the heck is this? It does involve us. They are believers. They are in the forefront. They are the... they're the ones leading this. Whoever it is, whatever their background is. Things that Sayyid Hassan says is important, Sayyid Hassan Nasrullah, may Allah bless him and protect him and give him a long life. These are the people in the front lines under the leadership. It's important for us. The details of it is important. Who says it's not important? Based on the Quran, it's important. The Yemenis, out of the Muslim Ummah, these are nations right now in the Islamic Republic of Iran, in Lebanon, in Iraq, in Yemen, in Syria, to a certain extent in Bahrain. These areas, these are people that are on the front lines. They have made more progress for the imam of our time and the direction that they're of the imam of our time. Collectively, what's happening in these areas is moving it in the direction of the coming of the imam. Every detail that happens there, every progress that they make, every setback that they have affects me based on the Quran. And then use your logic, use your reason. Why wouldn't it affect me? How would it not affect me? The ziyarah of the Ahlul Bayt depends on what the believers do over there. You want to have another Masjid al-Haram governed by Al Saud? Is it not different? Can you do Hajj the way the Prophet said in Mecca? One year they announce the beginning of Dhul Hajjah a day early, one year they announce it a day late, and everybody knows it. And we're supposed to go based on that because they're being stupid, but we're not going to be stupid by creating division there. But that's got to change. Deliberately messing things up, killing 5,000 people in Hajj, does it not make a difference? All of you have to go for Hajj. What happens in Arabia is not important, if it's Al Saud or others. Have you forgotten Saddam was around? You didn't have this Arba'in. Yes, people made sure somebody walks there. The believers did that over there. Did you have even thousands? Forget about millions. Did you have thousands walking towards the Karbala? You want to have another Saddam there? It doesn't make a difference. If Daesh comes there, you want to have your shrines? They got two opportunities in Samarra. They took down the dome twice. La'anatullah alayhim. It doesn't make a difference for you? Masjid al-Aqsa, the masjid that we have our history, Ibrahim is the history of Muslimin. Isa is the history of Muslimin. It doesn't matter if the Israelis run it. It doesn't matter. Let them be. It doesn't matter what happens to the Muslimin in Bosnia. It doesn't matter what happens to the Muslimin in Kosovo, in Albania. Muslimin in Eastern Europe that are treated like junk. Did you even know that? There are brothers and sisters. You think we're treated sometimes bad around here? Go look at the reports. These are the Muslimin. Yeah, the Ottoman Empire was an empire. They called themselves Muslim. They were an empire. Just like the Safavids, just like the Qajar, just like all these different. They weren't as bad as the non-Muslim empires, of course, but they were bad. That doesn't mean they were good. They're bad. The Ottoman Empire was an empire. It was not an Islamic government. But there were Muslimin that got left behind after the Ottomans moved out of that area, before the First World War, or during that, or afterwards. Doesn't matter. Whatever happens to them, and then you expect that you as Muslimin get treated well here, you moved over. What in the world is going on in our minds? What happens to Muslimin anywhere in the world is our concern. Anywhere in the world. Moreover, any Muslimin that are above others in terms of accomplishing Islam's goals, what the Quran says, they are more of a concern to us. Regardless of my ethnic background, regardless of their ethnic background, what matters is the level of iman, their reflection of the Quran. If they are mujahidun fi sabilillah and I am not, I should be looking up to them, no matter what their ethnic background is. If they're in Africa or in Europe or in America, South America, in Asia, in Arabia, in Iran, it doesn't matter. Look for where there is more iman and reflection of the Quran, and don't let the Westerners be the ones that tell you who's got more Islam. Don't let BBC be the one that tells you who's got more Islam. Don't let CNN or any of these outlets be the ones that tell you who's got more Islam. Look for yourself. See the light of Islam emanating from the Islamic Revolution. And whoever has joined that from wherever, and I'm telling you, I know Europeans that joined that. One of the shuhada I used to frequently visit in Qom was the grave of a shaheed who was French. I have no French in me. That's one bloodline I know I don't have. I'm told I have German, I've got Scottish, I've got Native American, and I've got Iranian. And whatever that means, because Iran has got different ethnicities as well. I really don't know what all the bloodlines there, but the ones that I'm told of are these. But so based on that, apparently, according to that, I don't have any French in me. As a French believer, at a young age, became a believer, left, he read about Imam Khomeini, read, saw what was happening, went to the Islamic Republic to gain the knowledge of the religion, and he did, and he saw there's more, it's not just the knowledge, he found an opportunity, he went and fought this war against all the superpowers that had unleashed Saddam, along with Iraqis. If you go to his gravesite in Qom, that area of the, they call it Gulzar al-Shuhada. Gulzar is a garden of flowers where the Shuhada are buried. They refer to it as Gulzar al-Shuhada generally. Anywhere in Iran you go, they call it Gulzar al-Shuhada. The garden of flowers. These are the best smelling flowers that you can find. These are all Iraqis. We visited the graves, we did Fatiha for all the Iraqis, but this one was special because he didn't have any. No one from his ethnic background would come and do ziyarah of that shaheed. And his family was Muslim, they didn't live in Iran. That's why we picked that one, not because he's European. It's because he didn't have anyone. No family in Qom or in Iran anywhere. No one from his ethnic background that maybe will come around. And with this jihad that he is on, it doesn't matter where all these people came. Afghans came, Pakistanis came in different ways. Some of it has been revealed, some of it has not been mentioned, in so many different ways. But where's the center? Where is all of this happening? Where are all these believers? Where is this power emanating from? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it happen in Iran. If I'm not Iranian, should I feel bad? This is what the shayateen wants you to think. The shayateen want you to feel disconnected. Yeah, there's this general thing with Imam Khomeini and we like him. There's Islam and that. But everything else about Iran, they call it, is what is Iran other than the Islamic Republic? I don't care about the rest of it. Meaning, I don't care about anything that doesn't have to do with Islam. Yeah, they have a certain way of cooking that a lot of other people don't like. And they love it. You don't like it, it's fine. Yeah, I'm not a... Doesn't matter. They like to dress a certain way. They like to drive a certain way. If you've been there, you know what I'm talking about. I like it. You don't like it? Don't drive like that. Doesn't matter. Part of it that has to do with Islam, the progress of Islam, that is important to us. Even if it looks local. Even if it looks like it's something domestic, it's about, no, that's part of us. How is it that if you live in the U.S., it's perfectly fine to think about, oh, what's happening in Minnesota? There were riots in Minnesota. It's part of the U.S. Well, what does the U.S. mean? Why is it that this other city that you're not in is important to you? This other city that's a little further away, a few thousand miles further away, that's not important. What draws the borders for you? It's clear that these borders formed by human beings, things that Islam has rejected, are important to you. If you speak like that, that means it's important to you. Why is it that south of the border doesn't matter? Minnesota matters. Baltimore matters. Atlanta matters. Los Angeles matters. Chicago matters. New York matters. Even Toronto doesn't matter. Vancouver doesn't matter. Who the heck cares about Vancouver? Still English speaking. Forget about Montreal and the French part of Quebec in Canada. Forget them, they're French speakers. The rest of Canada, not important. Minnesota, that's very important. Ferguson is really important. Baltimore, very important. Why? Is it because the oppression is more serious? Is it more serious in Yemen? Is it more serious than what it was in the Islamic Republic in the early days of the revolution? With the 8-year war, was it even close? Do you even know what happened there? Don't care about that. Care about these things. Just think of Imam Khomeini. Oh, excuse me. That's some made-up mumbo-jumbo. You don't even understand what you're saying. The Quran says it's all about iman. And it does say, إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ. If someone is atqa, regardless of their ethnic background, they are akram inda Allah. And you have got to see that. If you don't believe in the Quran. If I see Ayatollah Khamenei is akram inda Allah because he is atqa, then I should see him as akram inda Allah. I should consider him more honorable. If I see these shuhada, Haj Qasim, Haj Abu Mahdi, Haj Imad Mughniyya, if I see the recent shaheed, this great shaheed who wished for shahada, I listened to this clip of him, amazing. I had no clue who this person is. I'd never heard his name even. Then I heard a little clip and I tried to find it, I couldn't find it. That's the problem about just scrolling through Facebook that I do. I don't want to comment or like share. I just want to see what's going on. And then sometimes somebody had shared this. I couldn't find it. I tried to show my wife. He was saying, brothers, there's nothing better than shahada. Nothing better than shahada. pray that whatever happens at the end, we're shaheed. And he goes on about it, words that I have to listen to it again to see. Remember all the details of it. It's amazing. This is what we're talking about. This is a believer. This is atqa inda Allah. Someone who had a knowledge, who had abilities that others would envy. Someone who could have easily made a big name, not because of fear for his life, because of his iman and tawadu. He didn't want to have a name. He didn't want to get big. Easily could have had that. This is iman. You can see taqwa there. I go and learn a few words. I read a couple books. Not even a couple of books. A few pages of each of those books. I want to come and start delivering speeches. Sheikh Fulan. This guy is a scientist in different fields. After fighting in the 8-year war and before that. Is he not atqa inda Allah? Don't you see? He is important. He's able to do that, and here we are not really, we're afraid of even talking about shahada here. Like, oh yes, not worry about these things. No, we should. We should. Islam says, the Quran says, there's a global movement for the Imam of our time. And the members of this movement, regardless of their ethnicity, regardless of their locality, regardless of the color of their skin, regardless of the language they speak, regardless of the food they eat, the only thing that is regarded is their iman and their taqwa and their move for the Imam of our time. Wherever you find it, you are supposed to be part of that in whatever locality you are in. You got to join that. We all have to do that. And inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us to be able to do so. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to hasten the return of our imam. We ask Allah to help us become his true and close companions. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help all those who are helping his cause, especially our ulama, our maraja, and more so our leader. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us all of our sins. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive our parents, our grandparents, our relatives, all believers, those who are alive, those who have passed away. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant all of us our hajat, our needs, our requests. We ask Allah to relieve all those who are suffering from difficulties, hardships, calamities, illnesses. We ask Him to help all of us, all mankind, by providing the cure for this illness, this pandemic that we're dealing with, so that inshallah all of us can enjoy the blessing of the normal life that we had and we didn't appreciate as mankind until it was taken. We see how difficult it is. We ask Allah, we repent, we ask Him for forgiveness for not appreciating, not seeing that blessing from Him. We ask Him to grant it to us again by showing the believers a cure for this, inshallah, so they can share it with the rest of the world. بالنبي وآله رحم الله من قرأ الفاتحة.